Start your equipment. All right, and if you have your Bible, turn to Song of Solomon, verse 4. We've been particularly on the part of that verse, verse 4, that says, "The king hath brought me into his chambers." And this little phrase is really, really it's just full of the Lord. For example, the king hath brought me in. Now, I know maybe we don't really connect it like we should, but I know that the writer connected it. I know that the Holy Spirit, when he had him write it, connected it. The king hath brought me in. The king hath brought me in. And it's speaking of the high priestly work, and I'll show you that in just a minute. In fact, where is, we'll go to Psalms. I'm jumping ahead in my notes, but Psalm 24. Psalm 24. In verse, let's start at verse 7. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah." So what it is expressing there is just like in the Song of Solomon here, the king hath brought me in. The king hath brought me in. But that doesn't necessarily spell things out enough because we will say that Jesus is the king, and Jesus is on the throne now, and Jesus will bring me into the things that he wants to bring me into. And that's true, but there is a greater reality that's at work, particularly here and where this will take us, because the psalmist is saying, wait a minute, the king will do the king, who is this King of glory? And that's the question. As we will see in a few verses here, but you can't go wrong by going to Hebrews. So go to Hebrews 10 first. Hebrews 10. And verse 21 and 22. "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us," what's the next words? "Draw near." Does this sound familiar to anybody? The first two words in Song of Solomon 1, or Song of Songs 1:4, "draw me." "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." This is speaking of the high priest. This is speaking of verse 21, "and having a high priest, let us draw near." So she says, the Shulamite in Song of Songs says, "Draw me, draw me." So he says, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says, we have a high priest. We have this. We don't have to earn it or gain it. We have the high priest. What we don't have is the right approach. We keep approaching Jesus on the throne, coming boldly in only to tell of our problems. Well, and it's okay. I mean, you know, thank God we've got a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. That's great. I don't want to take away from that, but I don't want to center on that and take away from everything else that Jesus is to us and for us, so that we wallow in nothing but our problems, and that's all that Jesus is good for. You know, this says. This is something that we have. It's ing, so it's ongoing. Having, not having had, but now he's gone. Can I get amen? Some of the way that we, you know, well, the Lord's with me. Well, the Lord's not with me anymore. Well, the Lord, you've got it. He's there, Christ in you. He will not leave you or forsake you. The actual Greek word there, when he says he will not leave you or forsake you, guess what it is? He will not leave you as orphans. Okay, so what does that mean? Anybody ever felt a feeling of abandonment? Anybody ever had a father that wasn't there like he was supposed to be, like the Lord is, but we don't recognize it because we place the image of what we've experienced in earth upon heavenly things? That's not good. So we have to discover. We have to discover. We have to pursue. We have to seek beyond the realms of what we know. And it's okay. Go, well, I don't like change. Well, you know, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be changing from glory to glory.
Yes.
Okay, so you might as well get used to change. Second of all, well, I don't like the unknown. Okay, so that means that you're all-knowing, you have omniscience, and you know everything that needs to be known already, which is absolutely ridiculous. So then we need to say, Lord, there are realms of you that I don't know, and I love you, and I do want you, and I'm sorry for all the times and all of the situations that I made it about me, and I want you, and I want it to be about you, and I believe that's why you gave me the Holy Spirit, more than any other reason than to bring me in to you and your fullness and to know you. So I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to take me into realms of your heart and being that I've never known. What do you think the husband is going to do to that? I don't think so. You know, is that going to be his reaction? No. You know, he's waiting. He's longing for us to get out of our head and get into our heart. And then from our heart, get into his heart. Hallelujah. So, in the Song of Solomon, when it says, the king hath brought me in, the Song of Solomon is showing us Jesus there is being seen as the high priest in his work, the work to bring us in. All right. So, this Shulamite, oh my goodness, she's really coming into something here. It's the early stages, but she is about to discover that, and she'll call him all these names. I love her heart, the way she, you know, she says, my love, my husband, my brother, my, you know, it's almost like my father, my high priest, my king, my da 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 da. You're all of that. And somehow we divide all that up or we have, you know, the way I saw it many years ago was in our minds, we have this theological apartment complex. And we have Jesus the King living in one apartment. And when we're in there, oh, baby, we're all about the King. But then we go over to the high priest apartment and then we, you know, and then we're there and then we go to, you know, the Lord and then this and that, all the different things. But we don't see that our beloved, and that's what she calls him and the scriptures call him the most often, is my beloved. And where are we accepted? In the beloved. In the beloved. Not by the beloved. It's not just them standing side by side and she's going, look how he looks at me. Look how he kisses me on my head or this or that, you know. It's not just found in those things. It is in the million things that he has done to get us to himself in this way. And we have spurned that many times because we just go to the king and go, well, and we don't know that the king is also the high priest. And when it says the king hath brought me in, well, yes, and we'll explore that one more place in Hebrews here. But the high priest brought us in and brought us in by bringing us into himself. Yes, sir. He didn't just take a whole, you know, whole bunch of people. You come on, children. Like those pictures we see of, you know, them into the promised land or something. Whoa, let's all go in together. And Jesus is taller than everybody, you know. Oh, yeah, we're following you. Folks, he brought us into himself, the safest place he could put us. He brought us into himself. And then, so why do we live out here all the time and put him way far away? Why? You know. Okay, so, all right. So let's go to Hebrews 7, and we'll see this reality here. Who is this King of Glory? Hebrews 7 and verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Okay. Did anybody notice something there? Anybody notice something really sort of astounding? For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. He's a king priest. See, we don't see that in the Old Testament. We don't see that. We see a king, we see a priest. We don't see it a lot in Christianity because we see kind of a king, and then even though it's the same one, it's something different. It's like they're different. But Melchizedek has brought them together in the Melchizedek priesthood, which we're not under the Levitical priesthood. The New Testament priesthood is the Melchizedek priesthood, which is priest and king who brings us in, who buys us, bought us, paid for us. All of the aspects of this, we begin to see that he is prophet, priest, and king. He is the fulfillment of those things so that, now don't get mad at me, so that, well, let's just say he was the fulfillment of the all the sacrifices. What does that mean? If he's the fulfillment of all the sacrifices, well, we don't need sacrifices anymore. He's the fulfillment of them. Well, he's the fulfillment of the tabernacle or the temple. Well, we can tear down the temple because we're the temple and, you know, we're one with him. So it's the fulfillment of all of this stuff. And you just keep on going. Well, if he's prophet, priest, and king, folks, again, don't get mad at me. Then there's no prophet, priest, or king that's not Christ in somebody. If there's a prophet somewhere, you say, oh, well, that guy's a prophet. Well, not really. He has the prophet in him. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
Now, if you really don't understand that, go to Ephesians chapter, 2, and start in about verse 11. And it'll start explaining all of that. In fact, it's before 11 because it says that he gave gifts according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And there it talks about prophets and, you know, that these are gifts for the church, prophets and pastors and teachers and all that kind of stuff, according to the measure of Christ. Why do we leave that out? Why do we always have to become, well, in the Old Testament, well, we're not in the Old Testament. In the Old Covenant, that guy was a prophet. Well, in the New Covenant, Jesus is the fulfillment of prophet, priest, and king all in one, and he put himself inside of you. And if any man minister, let him minister as of the oracles of God and as of the ability that God giveth, which is Christ in you. Amen. Not just, we say the ability that God giveth, and we go, oh, he gave me these giftings. Well, yes, but no. He's the ultimate gift. Yeah. Do you think you can function in that without Christ? Come on. Israel tried it and they failed. Okay? So, we're in the book of Hebrews. You asked for it because this book starts off and he doesn't start in and he goes, well, I want to show you how the prophets of Baal were nothing like the prophets of God. And I want to show you how the temple of Baal was nothing like the temple of God. That's not Hebrews. Hebrews is, I want to talk to you about the very highest and best of your religion, your God-given religion, Jews. He says, your temple, his body. Now it's his body, and we're his body. And now we're the part of the temple of God. The book of Hebrews just goes right down, and it takes every high and holy thing, and it contrasts it with Christ. And he says, Christ is it. Christ is what it was about. Christ is the fulfillment. He is the reality of those things. You had those things, but you didn't have the reality of it. You get Christ in there as that through you, and you have reality. Just go through the book, and you'll see it. It is undeniable that God allowed this book to be written to break down every religious thing that was not an outflow of the life of Christ and was not brought about by the cross. There are no offices or whatever that were not brought about by the cross. Again, you want proof of that? You got me going now. You got me going. So we're going to do it. Go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Let's see. Actually, I was wrong. Let's go to chapter 4. Okay. We'll look first at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right. Where does that all start with? Well, you could go back to verse 7 because, if you're going to see a tree blossoming, and you're going to notice that it has apples on it, and you're going to notice it has green leaves, just go back to its source. You don't go look at the apple and go, well, here's the truth. Or go to a piece of bark and go, here's the truth. Or go to a leaf and go, here. You go down to the roots of it. And the roots of it is Christ crucified. So let's just do this. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's the measure of the gift of Christ. You say, well, how do you get that? Because the end result, which we read, verse 11, is till we all come in the unity of the faith. What is the unity of the faith? Of the knowledge of the Son of God. It's not a certain knowledge. It's the knowledge of him that brings the unity of the faith. Wait, he's not finished. Unto a perfect man. It didn't say unto perfect men. It says a perfect man, and then if you're still questioning, it says unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Folks, we're growing up in him in all things. In fact, he says that just down in verse 16, to grow up in him in all things. It says it in here, and it says it over and over and over. And so we make these giftings or these offices, however you want to, we make that everything. And we pull out verse 11 particularly, and we make that. And we don't see that, like verse 4, look, there's only one body, and there's one spirit, and there's one hope of your calling, and one Lord, and one faith, one Father. There's one. So every man has grace according to the measure. See, that's where it flows from. Every man has grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And therefore, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, that functions according to the one who ascended, but he first descended. There was first the cross. There was first him coming down and dying. And then he's coming up, and now he wants to come up in a body. And that body starts with people focusing on him being the fullness. And so they start doing that, and they're ministering. Let's say this. Then so they're ministering for the perfecting of the saints, so the work of the ministry to the edifying of the body of Christ. But we say, well, that's it. That's what we quote. We say, well, that's it. Till the next word is till we all come to something. In other words, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ is not the end result. That would just be us getting better, getting spiritual, getting... I mean, look at it. Is that right or wrong? But then it says the next verse, till we all of those who have, you know, edified and da-da-da-da, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what God's after, is the fullness of Christ in his body, instead of just Christians. And saying, this is the body. No. This is a bunch of Christians, unless we're, you know, what makes the difference? He calls us the church, the body of Christ, okay? What makes it the church when it's functioning as the body of Christ? That's the wording that it uses. It says that we are the church, the body of Christ. Well, what is the church? It's the functioning of Christ in his body. How does he function? Well, by one spirit. You know, he talks about that over in 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but one spirit. Don't forget that. There are diversities of administration, but one Lord. Don't forget, you know, because we're going, diversities of gifts. Lots of gifts. One spirit now. Oh, lots of administration. Oh, one Lord now. Oh, there's one Father. One body, just like it's, you know, that's following along right here. One. Everything came from one. As I've drawn before, in the beginning, God. Nothing else. I think we all agree with that, basically. In the beginning, God, okay? But then everything springs out from that, and you've got a million little things, all sorts of different things, and life, and, you know, all kind of stuff just springs from that. But then when you follow the scriptures, everything is delivered up to Jesus, and he delivers it up to the Father so that God may be all in all. It all came out of God, but it all must come back into God again and find its spring, its life. You know, what did David say? He said, all my springs are in thee. He didn't say, well, God blesses me and I'm a Christian and he helps me with my job. And he said, all my springs, everything springs from him. See? So, well, how many of us are there yet? Well, I don't know of any of us right now, including myself, but you know what? If that's possible, I don't care what people say. you know, I'm blind Bartimaeus, and everybody's trying to keep me from Jesus. You know, remember he was screaming, Lord, and they said, shut up, man. Don't disturb Jesus. He didn't like that stuff. You know, well, then I'm blind Bartimaeus, and everybody just thinks I'm crazy. But you know what? I don't mind being crazy. I don't. I'm crazy for Jesus, and I'm just as happy being crazy as I can be, you know. And I'm not worried about what people think about me. I mean, I'm not. I'm not worried at all. I'm only worried what Jesus thinks about me, you know. And I believe that what he thinks about me is according to that scripture in Hebrews that we read that just... Seven, verse one, wasn't it? You know what? I was thinking about the one I did in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 21. And having a high priest, let us draw near with a true heart. My God, people. It didn't say, let us draw near to get what we need. What if there were certain elements that Jesus wanted, that he needed, that he desired, and he desired it out of us. And we skip the important elements, and we just go in there and go, well, you're sitting on a throne, that means you're a king, and that means you can do stuff, and so, look, I got this problem, and that problem, and this problem, so fix it. Thanks a lot. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bye. You know, and we're out. Okay. And we never... Number one, we never really draw near. We just come in there boldly. You know, he did. You said, well, he said come in boldly. He also said draw near with a true heart. See, you can have boldness and a true heart. Can I get an amen? You know, but that wasn't all. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Most people don't have full assurance of faith. They go in there and go, well, you know, I don't know if you'll do this for me. And, you know, I've been trying to get, you know, more sensitive and not so hard. And, you know, but, you know, if you will anyway, would you do this? Boldness requires full assurance of faith. He wants me, not just what, you know. He's not... A glorified dumpster where we come in there with our garbage and dump it on him and then go out and say, thank you, man, he took my garbage. And then everyone else comes in there and dumps it and say, oh, he got my garbage. Yeah, Jesus took my garbage. And everybody's going, yeah, what a great dumpster he is. He's not just a great dumpster. He's the best dumpster there is. That's what. And how does he feel about that? He would give anything for somebody to have a heart that when they drew near to him, it touched him. That it wasn't just what you can do for me. And to have full assurance of faith in him. And having our hearts sprinkled. Oh my God, people. Our hearts sprinkled. See, that's not talking about sin. When it was out on the altar and you sprinkled the blood and you sprinkled the water and all that stuff, that's talking about sin. You get in the Holy of Holies and they start sprinkling this stuff, it's not about sin anymore. It's about him. The lamb died. You can point that direction. You know what I mean? Out to the brazen altar. The lamb died. The blood has been shed. You know. And why does the Father receive that? We say, well, a finished work. Yeah, a finished work, but a self-giving life that did that for us. And he goes, I love that. I mean, Jesus, gosh, I need to slow down. I need to stop or something. Jesus said, I have received a commandment from my Father. I can take my life or I can keep it. I mean, I can give my life or I can keep it. And he said, and basically he's saying, but I'm I'm going to give my life. And then the next line says, therefore the Father loveth me. It's that I have every right. I have my rights. I ain't going through this. I'm not going to take blame that's not due to me. This is unfair. I'm not going to do it. Da, 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 da. Okay, that's fine. I gave you free will. You don't, you know, and God won't go, well, I hate you. You know what I mean? He won't. He'll love you and he'll continue to bless you and do stuff for you because that's just the way he is. And he'll never tell you his heart. He'll never tell you his heart. And you'll never know what's really at work in him. You won't. You won't know what's at work in him. But the Father, it's exposing or revealing the heart of the Father and of the Son when the Son says, my Father gave me a choice. And I don't have to go through this. I don't have to. And so I can not go through it. I say no, and the Father goes, okay, I gave you a choice. You know. Or I can go through it faking that I'm really with the Lord. But I'm going to get bitter and burn out. And I'm going to hate everybody. Or I can go through it by this Spirit. You know. And again, I truly believe if somebody says, Father, I just don't. I mean, people do that with me. I've done that recently. When somebody came to me and they were just having a hard time with a certain deal, I said, well, you don't have to do it. It's done. Poof. Magically, this burden will not be upon you anymore. You do not have to worry. You're free. And there's no condemnation with it. I love you exactly the way I did before you came in here. It doesn't make any difference to me. You have free will. I honor that, and I still love. And my love has not changed at all. Someone could say, well, if his love has not changed at all, I'm just going to abuse everything I can. And he'll still, you know what I mean? I mean, they could do that. They could say, well, since it really doesn't change in him, then I can get away with murder. Well, guess what? You can. My preference, murder me. Because I'll be fine. You know what I mean? I really will. I'll be fine. It's not a problem. The Father, Jesus said, the Father hath given me a commandment that I can save my life or I can lay it down. And I choose to lay it down. Therefore, the Father loveth me. And boom! You're just going, we're behind the Holy of Holies now. You know what I mean? We're looking into God. We're not messing with sin and cleaning up stuff and trying to get our house in order out here. We've just stepped into the Holy of Holies and we're getting to view God as he is and the way he really is. And if we ever say, well, I want to conform to the image of Christ, you got to see what he's like first. You'll never, you know, you'll just, you know what? You'll hear, well, it's about sacrifice. Well, you know, so were the Aztecs. You know. Yes. The virgin over here. And, well, you know, we're going to offer you up. I'll lay down my life. That's not Christ. But if Jesus, and he was, put in that same situation, he'll go, I'll lay down my life and it'll bring forth glory to God and many will become freed as a result of this. Not because I didn't do it, but because I did do it. The King hath brought me in. The King, who is this King of glory? Who is he? He's our high priest. Don't look at a king with a crown grabbing you by the hand and bringing you in. It didn't happen. It was Jesus as the sacrifice and as the high priest that gave the sacrifice himself. I hope that makes sense. Yes. He was the sacrifice and the one, the high priest, that gave himself. You say, well, a dumb lamb, he couldn't willing, you know, because they said it had to be a willing sacrifice, you know. Well, I don't know anybody that discussed it with the lamb first before they slaughtered him, you know. And he went, yeah, I'm okay with this, you know. I don't think it happened. But it was a picture of Jesus as the lamb and as the high priest, and as the high priest willingly laying down his life. All right, let's see. Oh, by the way, that scripture, well, let's see, is it right? No, it was chapter 7, Hebrews 7, 1, 2, and 3, all along in there. It says that he was Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, and that he was a king. He's a priest and king. Who is this king that brings us into his chambers? It's Jesus. And it's this one who did it at the cross. All right, let's see if I can just squeeze something out. I don't think I'm going to be able to. But you know what? I'm kind of happy with... No, I'm not. There's too much left. All right, let's pray. Blessed Jesus, we barely know you. We think that in all of our experiences and all of the things you've done for us, that we've learned you, but in reality, we've never inquired concerning your own heart. We never wondered why Mary sat at your feet while Martha served and you rebuked the one who is working for you. And you said that she has chosen something that will not be taken away. Lord, the only thing that will last forever that can't be taken away is you. You cannot be taken away. If we stick with you, if we love you, if we sit at your feet to know you and to hear your word and to come into the holy of holies of your own heart, it can never be taken away from us. No one can take it away. They didn't take it away from you when you went to the cross. And so, Lord, I just ask you that if there be some here, there be even one, if there be some, that your spirit is wooing like this Shulamite, that your spirit is drawing, that your spirit is beckoning us to get past the brazen altar and past the other elements that are seen naturally, and to proceed behind the veil where there's only one light in there, and that's you. There is no natural light in there. There's only you as light. And suddenly we realize that there's no light in the temple. You are the light of the temple, and we're that temple, and you live in us. And that all of our light on different subjects means so little compared to entering into the place where you are the light. And that we see you, and we see you in light of you and not in light of our own concepts. So we ask, draw us in this manner. Draw us by our heart, and give us that heart that you talked about, to be able to come before you, to draw near with a true heart, not a selfish heart for gaining something from you. So Lord, just grant entrance. O King, O Priest, O Melchizedek, bring us into your chambers, into your Holy of Holies. Bring us in. Let us see and let us know you as you want to be known. Let us know you as you are known. And then from that, let us know as we are known and no longer by the identity that the world has given us. That we will know as we are known, and we will embrace it and bow to it. We will be washed and cleansed, and our minds will be cleansed, and our views will be cleansed, and we will have transformed. We will have been transformed into your image as we look into your face from glory to glory. So Jesus, I pray that your prayer will be answered, that we ourselves will line up and set our course, no longer just to do ministry, but to answer your prayer request in John 17, that we may be one as you and the Father are one. Oh, Father. Father, move in such a manner that the Son will get his due, that he will be satisfied, that the deep desires of his heart, that they will be met, and that we carnal Christians will awaken unto not some revival or something like that, but we'll be awakened to eternal things, things that will not change, things that are built on your very being and character and person. So thank you. I say thank you because you said to come with full assurance of faith. I say thank you because I believe that you're at work in me and in us. I believe that you are, and that your words will not fall to the ground and be wasted. That Randy's words can fall to the ground and be wasted, but your words and your heart and your spirit can communicate beyond anything I can feebly try to set forth. And they will not be wasted. They will find residence in each person here. And they will be as seeds, and those seeds will grow. And their heart will continue to pray and cry out, more of Jesus, less of me. More of Jesus, less of me. So, Father, we do thank you. We do have faith that this is your heart and you want it more than we do. And if we don't even hardly want it at all, it doesn't stop you. This is what you want, and you've set your course to bring us in. Let us see past our present condition into who you say we are and who you know us to be in your Son. Father, we ask it all and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.